Hello, and welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that is dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorraine King, and today I am visiting with Tracy Terlinde, who is an epidemiologist with the Peoria City County Health Department. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
Now, Tracy, before we get into our discussion, do you mind explaining to our listeners exactly what epidemiology is and what do you do as an epidemiologist?
Yes. So epidemiology is the study of diseases and illnesses within our community. And what I do is I track data on all reportable diseases, such as STIs, and in particular right now, COVID-19. We look at the disparities in the community, who is at risk more, what zip code is at risk more, and then we put in mitigation efforts and initiatives to decrease those risks in those populations.
Okay, so if you were tracking and discussing and keeping data on diseases in the community, we know right now the one that's foremost in the minds of everyone is the coronavirus 19. So, with regard to that, what statistics do you have that you can share with the audience on COVID-19?
So, our statistics today, we have 23,946 cases. Of those cases, we have 23,403 that are considered recovered. 159 are in home isolation right now, recovering, and 8 hospitalized cases.
Okay, now when you say we have 23,000, that's the current stats, but that's not the total from when it first started, is it?
This is our total that we have of as today.
From when we first started?
From when we first started, correct.
Okay, so we've had 23,946, and 23,403, which is a very high percentage,
yes,
have recovered.
Yes.
Now, do you see a difference in the recovery rate from when it first started, say a year ago, and the recovery rate now?
The recovery rate is about the same. We're seeing about 98-99% of individuals recovered, but when we say recovered, no longer having symptoms. We're still tracking them and looking at long-term effects of COVID. So when we say recovered, it's they no longer have symptoms and they're free of COVID, but we are seeing some long-term effects from it.
Okay. Now, one of the long-term effects that I read about recently in the news was that people who are vaccinated could be asymptomatic carriers. Is that true?
That could be true if you are exposed to it, but the percentage is very, very low of you transmitting it to someone else.
Okay. All right.
So vaccines do work.
Yes, that's good. I've got my vaccine, so I believe it works too. So then you say there are 159 in isolation. Are these people that are in isolation, are you able to determine how they got it?
The 159 that we have in home isolation, we do ask how they were exposed. Many people do not know how they were exposed. Mm-hmm. It could be a family member. Right now, those getting COVID-19, we're seeing from camps, concerts, very large gatherings where outbreaks are happening, and those individuals are unvaccinated.
Okay. You know, when you said camps, I'm working with NAACP doing COVID tracing and mitigation. Mm-hmm. And I remember one client just told me last week that their children got it from a church camp. So based on that information, what are your suggestions? I mean, as an epidemiologist, and let me know if it's in line with CDC guidelines for children going to these events where there are lots of people and they're in very close proximity to one another.
Mm-hmm. Anybody over the age of 12 can get vaccinated. So those who are not vaccinated, we do recommend still masking and that social distancing. Those are good preventative measures to protect yourself from getting COVID. But it's those large gatherings when we're not wearing masks and we're very close together, mm-hmm, where we can see that spread and an outbreak happen.
Okay. Now, does it matter if the activities that they're engaging at a camp are outdoors or indoors?
Indoors, you're in close measures. Outdoors, you're able to spread out more, mm-hmm. so that exposure can decrease when you're outside.
So right now, based on the activity going on now, what recommendations do you have for individuals as far as masking up and social distances? And also, are you following CDC guidelines?
Yes. Our mitigation efforts always follow what the CDC is recommending. As a local health department, we do have the opportunity to tighten those restrictions a little bit more, mm-hmm. depending on what we see. Right now, we are moving into substantial transmission because our cases are starting to increase from what they were a few weeks ago. So with that influx of cases and they're rising, we could see mitigation efforts be put back into place. All sectors of the economy are currently open, but we are asking even individuals who are vaccinated to wear their masks indoors because we are seeing a rise in cases and new variants coming in because it's mutating.
Okay, now to those people who are listening, would you recommend that they wear a mask by going to the grocery store or going shopping? What are your recommendations for them?
Yes, so if you are vaccinated, we are recommending to wear that mask indoors when you are going out into the public because not everybody who is not vaccinated is wearing a mask, mm-hmm. so we don't know. You don't have to turn in your vaccination card everywhere mm-hmm. you go. So just to protect yourself, and we are still encouraging those who are not vaccinated to wear your mask when you go out in public and you're indoors in large crowds to protect yourself also.
Yes, and you not only are protecting yourself, you're protecting others as well.
As well, yes.
Yes. So I know that in some places you don't have the discretion to say, oh, well, I'm fully vaccinated, so I don't need my mask. There are some places where you have to mask up regardless. And do you want to share that with our listeners?
Yes. Yeah, so some businesses are still requiring to mask regardless, especially medical facilities mm-hmm. is one of them. Please wear your mask if you're asked to.
Cause
follow their guidelines.
Yes, I know how to get some lab work done a couple weeks ago. And I got to the door and I'm like, oh, no, let me go back and get my mask. Because mm-hmm. if you go into the hospital to visit somebody, or you're just going to get an exam or a test or something, you've got to be masked up.
Yes.
Now, doctor's offices are requiring that too, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now you already mentioned that there's an uptick in cases. Do you attribute this uptick to individuals who are not vaccinated spreading it? Or is it more to the variant that's becoming more common?
So we do have a new variant, the Delta variant, and what we're seeing is that it is more transmittable than the first strand of COVID-19 mm-hmm. that we first saw, and the viral load is a lot higher.
So you're saying that the variant is impacting more individuals, particularly the younger individuals, than the original COVID-19 strain?
Yes, we're seeing more transmission in the younger population under the age of 12 as they're not vaccinated. Our highest population is that 0 to 29 age group mm-hmm. Has a high rate right now of COVID-19. And then the regions with low vaccination rates.
Okay, like there's some states.
So we do have some zip codes in Peoria County that have a lower vaccination rate to other zip codes in Peoria County. So we're seeing a higher uptake in those regions than others.
Okay, now that generates two questions. I heard you say that you're focusing on ages 0 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
Are you including infants? Are infants impacted by this new variant?
We do see some infants come through, but it is the unvaccinated population, that 12 and under, but then we have our 20-year-olds that aren't vaccinated either. So they're mm-hmm. making up almost 50% of our positive cases right now.
Now, if I recall correctly some information that I read, the reason it's starting to impact those who are not vaccinated is because they don't have defenses, and so that allows the virus to mutate, and
yes.
The mutation is more serious.
Yes. So right now, the population that is vaccinated in Peoria County is 46%. Mm-hmm. With the age range of 12 to 29 being the lowest, all under 35% that are allowed to be vaccinated. So we're not at herd immunity yet, which is the more people that are vaccinated, mm-hmm. the less likely this vaccine or the virus can continue to grow and spread. The more people who are unvaccinated is where that virus can grow and continue to mutate and become stronger and more severe. So that's why we encourage to be vaccinated so it will not mutate.
So can you remind us the percentage we need to reach to have gain herd immunity? You say right now 46% in Peoria County are.
Correct. Yes. So we would like a goal of everybody, but mm-hmm. We're striving at that 50%, and then we would like 80 to 90% of our population to be vaccinated. We would like 100%, but we know that we're not going to get that. But the more that we have vaccinated, mm-hmm. the less likely you have to pass it on when you are vaccinated if you've been exposed to it.
Okay, now I'm going to confess to my age. I read that people in my age group have the highest percentage of vaccinations. So can you talk about that, the group with the highest? We know the lowest is those up to 29 or 35, you said.
Yes. I don't have that data in front of me right now, but I know our 60-plus age group does have the highest vaccination rate. And I want to say it's at least above 70%. So yes.
Yes, I think we're doing very well in our age group.
Yes, yes, and we do appreciate that.
Now, what plans do you have or what steps is the health department taking in order to try to reach those who are not vaccinated or those who might be resistant?
I have a team that... our contact tracers, and we do have some, we call them disease specialists that are reaching out to positive cases. And so when we talk to people who have COVID-19 or were exposed to COVID-19, we talk to them about the vaccination. We provide correct data and information so they can make an informative decision mm-hmm. on to get that. Mm-hmm. The Peoria City County Health Department has walk-ins from 8 to 4 Monday through Friday to get the COVID vaccine. You can go to most pharmacies, your healthcare provider. You can check our website at pcchd.org for mm-hmm. vaccine clinics in your community. We are working with the National Guard for vaccine clinics and mm-hmm. targeting zip codes that have low vaccination rates.
Okay, now you mentioned zip codes earlier. So can you just share with our audience which zip codes, you know, are low in the vaccination rate?
Yes. So our lowest vaccination rates are found in 61605 at 24% vaccinated, 61606 at 26% vaccinated, and 61603 are 29% vaccinated.
Wow. So those are really low numbers.
Yes. And even more concerning is that when we look at vaccination, which takes account the age ranges of populations, especially between those 12 to 29, mm-hmm. 61605 has a rate of 101.8 fully vaccinated per 1,000 individuals in that age range of 12 to 29. Mm-hmm. 61606 has a rate of 142.7 fully vaccinated per 1,000 individuals. And 61603 has a rate of 151 fully vaccinated per 1,000 individuals. Again, all in that 12 to 29 range. This is concerning when you think about the rates of illnesses in our population as we move towards in-school learning.
So what kind of cautions do you have for students and their parents, you know, now that school's about to start?
All schools are creating their own mitigation efforts in which we will provide guidance from the efforts that they decide. We do encourage universal masking within schools, whether they're vaccinated or not, as the highest protection.
So when you say universal, is that from the principal all the way down?
That would be anybody, regardless of vaccination.
Okay. So then if everyone's vaccinated, then it's not such a stigma for those who may not be. Now, how long have you been tracking this data? Because I know this has been going on now probably for about 18 months or more.
Yes. So we have been tracking the data since it first came to Peoria in March of 2020.
Okay. And then how do we compare with nearby communities such as, I mean, you're dealing with Peoria County, but how do we compare with, say, Tazewell or Woodford County?
Woodford County is a smaller community than us, so they don't have as many cases. Mm-hmm. Tazewell is also a little smaller than us. Our rates kind of compare the same. If you look at our graph, they maybe have lower cases than us, but we're all moving in the same direction in a wave as far as how our cases increase and decline at the same time.
So in all those counties, say in the Tri-County area, you're going to find more of the elderly are have a higher rate of being fully vaccinated than the younger people?
I do not have Tazewell County or Woodford vaccination rates. I'm assuming it would be pretty close to the same as us, but I don't have their vaccination rates. So.
Now, when you talk about the Delta variant, does it have the same symptoms as the original coronavirus 19?
Yes. Where your symptoms could be more severe with this new variant than the first one, where maybe people feel like they have a cold or allergies, but their symptoms might be a lot stronger or have more symptoms if they get the Delta.
Now, we've heard through the Olympics, and I've also heard in conversations with people, that some individuals say, well, I've had the coronavirus, so I'm fully protected. You know, they haven't been vaccinated, but they say, oh, I'm fully protected. Is that true?
Natural immunity, we know, lasts for about 90 days or 3 months. After that, every individual is different after that. So we're unsure how long your natural immunity does last. So we are still recommending that those who did have COVID get vaccinated after that 90 days when we know that natural immunity starts to decline.
So they shouldn't get the vaccination before the 90-day period is over?
Typically, we recommend not. If you get that vaccination within that 3 month period of having it, you could react to the vaccination. And when I say that is you could have COVID-19-like symptoms when you get it. But that is good because that means that the vaccine is working and your body is recognizing and working to kill that off.
Right. So if it can benefit them to get it before the 90 days, you know, why do you say 90 days after they've had it?
So if they get it before they get COVID, they'll be protected. But if they get COVID and they get the vaccine within 90 days of having it, they still have that natural immunity within their body. So they could react stronger to that first dose of vaccination than if they got it after. So I have not been diagnosed with COVID. I had my first vaccination. I had a little bit of a sore arm. My next one, I was tired and achy for about 13 hours maybe. And that was because my body recognized it to shut that virus down so I didn't get it. And then I was fine the next day. So when I say that if you get that vaccination within the 90 days, you could react to that first dose as I did to the second dose.
Okay, now I have a question, because I read this in the paper, and I have the same question. A gentleman had written in and said that his partner didn't have a response to the second dosage, and neither did I. So there's some question about whether or not it took, especially if you are a person that's experienced some kind of immunosuppressed illness. Is that true? I mean, how can you tell? Because nothing happened the second time. The first time, sore arm, but nothing the second time.
Not everybody does react, and that's fine too.
But you can tell, is there a way to tell that your defenses are up and ready to go if you don't have any reaction?
If you went and got an antibody test, it might let you know. But other than that, I mean, I can't speak to that.
Okay.
Everybody is different.
Okay. Now, for those who may have just joined us, you're listening to 106.3 WPNV on your FM dial. The show you're listening to is called How Do You Feel? And it's a show that's sponsored by Peoria City County Health Department. And today, I've been talking with Tracy Terlinde, who's an epidemiologist, the person that tracks diseases, tries to mitigate diseases, and that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now we want to get back to, you already talked about the vaccination rate, and you talked about where people can go to get vaccination. One thing I don't hear enough about is telling people that these vaccines are free.
Yes, these vaccines are absolutely free. So you can go to the Peoria City County Health Department Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, pharmacies, your local healthcare provider. You can also visit our website at pcchd.org and look at vaccine clinics within your community when we're out in the public throughout the week and on the weekends. And they're absolutely free. So yeah. We don't even ask for your insurance card.
Okay. Because my insurance company did send me a note that said, you know, there's no cost to you at all, you know, for getting the vaccine.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So last year, I think it was early in the year. No, it was probably the fall of 2019 that healthcare providers were saying to the population in general, please get your flu shot this year. You know, if this virus is coming up, we want you to have your flu shot. So what are you saying this year with regard to the flu shot?
We are still recommending everybody to get their flu shot. The flu is still here. We did track the flu over this past year as well as COVID. So both COVID and influenza are contagious respiratory infections, but they are caused by a different virus.
But do they have any similar symptoms?
They have some similar symptoms.
So you can have the sore throat, you can have the fever.
You can have a fever, you can feel achy, you might have a cough and respiratory issues. And they do mimic and go the same with COVID. COVID kind of has symptoms of almost everything. And that's why we recommend if you do test negative for COVID, that you do go into your doctor and get tested for the flu or any other type of virus that may be going around as well.
Okay. I didn't know you could get tested for the flu.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did get the flu shot early. So everyone should get the flu shot early. But the other thing that I didn't learn until probably a year or so ago was that it doesn't take effect right away. So what's the period of time before it takes full effect?
The COVID vaccine, 2 weeks after you get your second dose, you're considered fully vaccinated.
2 weeks after the second dose. Mm-hmm. Okay. And with the flu, you only get one shot. So it's 2 weeks.
You get one shot and I've never heard 2 weeks.
Oh, that's what the pharmacist told me, because I told somebody who said, oh, I got the flu shot and I still got the flu. And I said, but how soon did you get it? And they got it like within a week. And so I told them that they hadn't taken effect yet.
They were already exposed before they got their flu shot.
Oh, okay. Okay. So people shouldn't wait until, you know, it gets really close to flu season. Because the other thing I learned from the health department last year or early this year was that the flu is a year-round malady. I didn't know that.
Yes, it can be.
Yeah, I heard that it starts in South America first, and that helps us to develop the vaccine to come back. And we have to keep changing every year.
Yeah, so when they develop the flu shot, they go by what the strongest strands will be.
Okay. And so it doesn't keep you from getting the flu.
So you could still get the flu if you get a strand that you're not protected from with the flu vaccine.
Okay. But you are better protected than if you had
nothing. You are better protected, yes. So your symptoms could be less severe. Maybe only keep you down for a day. You might not have to go to the hospital if you're vaccinated if you do get a different strand. So your symptoms could definitely be less severe.
Now, the other thing, you know, what I'm thinking, you know, while we're talking, is that, you know, I've been reading a lot about in other states where the vaccination rate is low, that the hospitals are running out of bed. We never got to that point in Peoria County, did we?
No, we didn't. We did have a surge last fall starting near the end of October that lasted until mid-January, early February, where mm-hmm. we were seeing over 1,000 cases a week. And then we hit a second surge around March and went back down again in June. Mm-hmm. But we did not reach full capacity in our hospitals.
Okay. Now, in general, for individuals who might have some resistance because, you know, they are afraid of the reaction, or they're not truly sold on the fact that it's safe, what would you say to those individuals?
I would encourage everybody to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. It will protect you from getting severe symptoms. It could protect you from going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. It can protect against being ventilated in the hospital mm-hmm. and death. If you have any questions about the vaccine, please call us at the Peoria City County Health Department, mm-hmm. and we can discuss your concerns. And you can call us at 679-6000.
And if they call after hours, they can leave a message and someone will get back to them?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So for our listeners, we know that vaccines are free. There are lots of places you can get them. If you come to the health department, you don't need an appointment. Then the other thing we have to be on the alert for is, as you said, last fall, you know, that was a surge because people were going more indoors. And so are we anticipating that there'll be a big surge this fall also?
You never can tell. I'm hoping not. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping more people will continue to get vaccinated, but we'll see when school starts.
Now, do health departments report to CDC?
Yes.
So all the information and data that you're collecting?
So all of Peoria County mm-hmm. information goes to the Illinois State Department of Public Health,
okay.
and then it goes to the CDC.
Oh, okay. So that way you feed into them.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the Peoria community compare with all of Illinois as far as, you know, the percentage of people that are vaccinated and that kind of thing? And the recovery rate, are we comparable?
I don't have that data in front of me to mm-hmm. To speak on. I believe Illinois is just over 50%, so mm-hmm. we're not far behind.
Okay.
As being fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. 50%, but we'd really like to get to 70, 80.
We would like to be above that 80% vaccinated.
Okay. So one of the things you would do would encourage people who might be reticent to call in and ask questions to get factual information, mm-hmm. right? And so if they call in, should they still call this 679-6000?
They can call that number. That is our main line, and then they will get directed to somebody to answer their questions.
What department should they ask for if they call that?
They can ask for epidemiology and clinical services.
Okay, all right. And they might talk to you?
They may talk to me, or they may talk to a disease specialist or one of our nurses.
Okay. So, Chasey, I want to thank you so much for coming in and updating us on the vaccination rate and statistics in Peoria County and giving us information about where individuals can still get free vaccinations and for encouraging people to get that flu shot.
Yes.
Because you don't want to have... So, can you have flu and COVID at the same time, since they're very similar. If you have them at the same time, what's the impact?
It's possible if you were exposed to both, you could have the flu and COVID at the same time.
That wouldn't be a pleasant experience.
I imagine not.
Okay. So we want those who are listening to remember to protect yourselves, protect your family and your neighbors by getting the COVID shot. But if you have questions or you're still reluctant to do so, you can call Tracy. 679-6000. And if you get her voicemail, leave your number and she or another epidemiologist or a nurse will call you back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to thank not only Tracy, but also thank our listeners who've been listening to How Do You Feel? Remember, it's the show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. The show airs at 11 a.m. on Saturday, and it repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. I've been your host, Lorraine King, and I hope that you learned something from this and you will join us again next week.
Now is always the right time with the song.